Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Greetings, comrades, and welcome to the Eastern Border. And this time, well, in spite of everything terrible happening all around us, we're finally having something positive on the show. We have Alistair Pitts on our show from the Russophiles Unite podcast, and I'm glad that I'm able to speak with him in Russian this time. Здоровья тебе, товарищ! У нас есть водка и тульские праники! На здравствуйте в восточном загранице. Yeah, please, Alistair, introduce yourself and your show, and let's talk about movies.
Yes. Thank you, Kristaps. It's a joy to be on the show. So if I caught that correctly, you were saying you've got some vodka, you have got some gingerbread from Tula, and long live the Eastern Border.
Ah, sajot.
I'm sure I missed something. What did I miss?
It'll do, mate. It'll do.
Okay.
I've been promoting Alistair to you on many occasions because he dissects Soviet movies, and a lot of them were made here in Latvia. One of the known facts is that Riga was kind of a placeholder for every European city ever.
Yeah, it's like a chameleon city.
When I was in UK, they still have like the thing about the... I was in the Sherlock Holmes Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they still hold a special place for the Soviet Sherlock Holmes series, which are filmed in Riga, in Jaunmoku Street.
Yeah, Vasily Livanov, yeah. I was fortunate enough to visit Riga a few years ago, and you were very kind to like show me around the place. And of course, one of my first things to do was to track down like substitute Baker Street, which was awesome. Yeah, I know, it's really cool how you've got like this version of London, except it's like the complete other end of Europe.
Yes, of course. Europe is a single country. Everybody knows that.
Right. Although my country obviously is trying hard to be like a pariah state.
Back to the Soviet movies. My favorite one is, that's a Latvian movie made in Soviet era. It's called Breathe Deep.
Okay.
Alpo Yedzid, the official name of that thing. It was made in the 60s, I guess. Released in the 70s because it was very kind of controversial. It contained kind of a spirit of glasnost, to be true. I highly recommend that one. And I also recommend A Gift to a Lonely Woman, which is all about how the Soviet person could get a car. That was fun, too.
Oh, yes, yeah. I guess it was like a year or so back. You recommended me a couple of Latvian films, and I'm afraid I haven't gotten around to them yet. But I do have a list on Letterboxd for whoever's on there to check out at some point.
My question to you is, like, have you watched sequels, modern-day sequels to those Russian movies?
I haven't all the way through, but...
I want you to suffer.
Okay, so here's a fun one. So one of the movies I covered that's a classic from the late 70s, which is Office Romance. They did a remake, I guess it was about like 10, getting on for 10 years ago.
Oh, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I have watched like the first maybe 5 minutes of that remake, and I just went, do you know what? Life's too short.
I am slowly dying inside by you reminding this.
Right. That's worth mentioning because the male lead in the remake is now the president of Ukraine.
Yep.
So, you know, interesting career journey.
The worst of them all is still the Prisoner of Caucasus too.
Oh, okay.
That is the worst of them. That is just like, even from the point of cinematography, they made it worse.
Mm. Despite like decades of like, in theory, advance in cinema technology, it still manages to look worse. Nice.
Yes, it does. And I'm a huge fan of Red Letter Media. I'll admit that openly. I love those guys because they taught me a lot of that. But like in the original, they at least managed to capture the wild animals and the main villains in the same shot. Here, they don't.
Mm.
Secondly, the role of Shurik is cast by the same guy who played the doctor by the name of Levin in the basically the Russian version of The Scrubs.
Okay, yeah. I've never actually seen Interns, the Russian version of Scrubs, but I do remember that. I guess it was on while I was living in Moscow, and I remember seeing posters of it everywhere and just going like, that looks like Russian Scrubs. Like, is this an official like remake, or is this just like, ah, that worked in America, let's just rip it off? And like, I don't know. I don't know whether it's like licensing or anything, or whether it was just like, yeah, a ripoff.
There is licensing stuff, but from the British shows, the IT Crowd is still my favorite.
Okay, yes.
But the British version.
Yeah, didn't they do like an American pilot, but it never actually took off?
It did take off.
Oh, did it? Oh, okay. Huh.
And it's shite.
Okay. Yeah, because obviously The Office, there was 12 episodes, I think, of the British version, and then like many, many seasons of the American version.
If you compare Russian ripoffs to the American shows, which they do a lot, Married with Children, by the way, is the show that caught off in Russia so well that they have produced like original material for that even.
Oh, wow.
They've done everything, but like, it's crazy.
Yeah, so my experience of watching American shows on Russian TV, now, I didn't actually have a TV set like most of my time in Russia, and I just, like, it probably would have been good for my Russian, but I couldn't really be bothered. But my flatmate, my first 2 years, had the TV in our flat, and so he'd watch it quite a bit. But they had this weird custom of when they dubbed Western shows of just one dude dubbing all of the voices. So you had Friends where Jennifer Aniston is like,
I know that dude.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Like,
I know that dude. I know that one dude. I'm going to get him on my show. He's now a political analyst and he's quite famous.
Oh, wow.
He was the one guy who dubbed everything in the 80s. He dubbed all the action movies and everything. He's still alive, and he's still active as a journalist. And
wow.
When I get him, he doesn't speak any English, though. But I'm gonna do the same thing he did to the English movies. You're going to have a Russian background and an English voiceover. In that terrible Russian language, the English. Because it's awesome. It's just awesome, man. But yeah, like, I don't know, Russian cinema, what draw you to it? Because, you know, Sergei Eisenstein is kind of my country mate. He was born in Riga.
Right. Yeah, so I think it was essentially me trying to kill two birds with one stone. So,
oh, killing two stones with one bird. I know that statement, yes.
Yeah, so I'd been quite into movies when I was at university, and in the years between like leaving uni and then going off to Russia, but I hadn't watched a ton of films when I was out there just because of like my work hours and like doing split shifts and it not being, you know, very conducive to like watching a lot of movies. So when I got back to the UK, I was like, well, I want to get back into watching movies, but I also want to keep up with my Russian and kind of keep exploring, like, it just sounds so pretentious, but like the history and the culture and the language, and like cinema was kind of like a window into that. And also I'd guested on a little indie podcast called Classic Schmassic, which sadly is no longer going, but I volunteered myself, like I invited myself on the show, and they actually said yes. And I said, hey, I'd like to talk about Battleship Potemkin. And they were like, yeah, that sounds good. So they had me on, and I had such a good time. Ended up coming back to talk about Solaris and had a great time again. And I was kind of like, do you know what? I should start my own podcast. And I basically ripped off their format of like having a little like pre-discussion section, then like going away and watching the movie and then coming back for like the discussion of like what I actually thought. So my format is essentially like I set up the movie. Not that anyone will ever actually do this, but supposedly you would then pause the show, watch the movie, like quote unquote with me, and then come back and listen to the second half and see what I thought. But yeah, essentially I got that format from them because, you know, talent burrows, etc.
Well, I've done some things for my Patreons where we basically do movie commentary tracks.
Mm.
Where we watch the movie together with someone, and then, you know, the people can just, you know, get the movie, and then they can just play our audio over the movie and get our commentary
cool.
tracks. Maybe we can do that sometimes too.
That would be fun. Yeah, so which movies have you done?
Rocky IV and Red Dawn.
Right. Yeah, I should say, occasionally, instead of just doing Russian and Soviet movies, we sometimes do a Western movie with a Russian connection, and just kind of like, I mean, not that I'm an expert, but we've never gotten around to Rocky IV.
Rocky IV, it's a disaster that we love here. It's amazing. It's just the best movie ever.
Oh, yeah. How Sylvester Stallone wins the Cold War by, like, smacking a Swedish guy multiple times in the jaw. Yeah, it's a classic.
Also, how the KGB drives around with Mercedes Benz.
Right.
How Stallone is allowed to train alone in the Russian countryside all by himself without supervisors.
Yeah,
that too. And then we watched the Red Dawn. I was like, oh my God, no, guys, just...
Speaking of Red Dawn, of course you've heard the story about, like, when they decided to do the remake of Red Dawn, right?
Wait, they have a remake?
Yeah. Like, it had to... I want to say it had one of the Hemsworths in it as well. I think it was actually Thor himself. I could be wrong. It might have been one of the other ones.
I want to watch that movie now.
Yeah, you need to track it down. But originally, the villains in that were going to be the Chinese, because, you know, communist country, the Soviet Union doesn't exist, so we can't have them invade. But hey, the Chinese, they have a communist party, so let's make them the villain. And then someone went, but China's a pretty big movie market. Maybe we shouldn't make them the villains. So, and this was like after production. So they'd done all of this. So this meant that they had to then like essentially like digitally remove all the Chinese flags and replace them with North Korean flags, because they were like, okay, the Chinese are just going to be North Koreans. The North Koreans have invaded, not the Chinese. Forget we said that. So that's a movie that happened.
Whoa. In Rocky IV, you know, about the Drago thing, everyone here was just like, you know, obviously rooting for Drago, because... Why didn't you defect?
Of course.
Why didn't you defect, you motherfucker? my podcast allows for swearing. I'm sorry. If you're listening to his podcast, welcome to swearing territory. We do that here. It was like, you should have defected. Your wife is obviously a setup from the KGB to watch over you. Just fucking defect. You have no family. Why are you not doing that, you stupid dumb fuck?
Brawns rather than brain, I guess. So this is the thing I'm really curious about. So obviously, like, you're a fan of, like, Soviet era movies in Russian. But I was curious, like, for folks who are, like, in Latvia and at university now or in their early 20s, would they still like grow up watching Soviet era movies, and would they still like them, or is that more of a like generational thing almost?
Yeah, a lot of them, because
sorry, I don't want to make you feel super old.
No, it's okay. I'm 31 now. I'm not that old, but yeah, we do, because a lot of the better Soviet movies were made here, especially, you know, 17 Miracles of Spring, if you've seen that one.
No, I have not seen that, but I know it by reputation.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I know.
Go into a corner and die now. You do not know the story of Stirlitz.
I know of Stirlitz, but yes, it's on the list to cover at some point.
It is something that you should watch and should do everything you can. It's the thing that Latvian movie makers really learn from that. Except, you know, sometimes in modern Latvian media, we have some great movies. I recommend two of them, by the way, openly. One is Homo Novus, which is based upon a novel of a Latvian emigre of World War II who moved to the United States. And he wrote about the bohemian life of artists in 30s Latvia.
Mm.
That's a great movie. It was shown in Boston in English as well, so I know it has English dubs. And the second one is The Fond of Criminal Excellence, which is in 2018, we had this 100-year anniversary of our country, and we funded a lot of movies. One of those was this Criminal Excellency Fund, which was a study about criminal activities in the 90s, you know, post-Soviet era, which is great. And then there was The Great Shame of Our Country, biggest shame ever that you could picture, which you should all watch because of, oh my fucking God, how terrible it was. It's called in English The Pagan King. It's promoted in English as The Pagan King. It was made together with Lithuanians. It was an attempt to make something historically accurate, sort of Hollywood historical story. That went wrong because the movie even starts with Latvian rugby being played.
Okay.
Even though Latvians had no rugby ever. And Semigallians are ruling all over the coastland. If you know something about Latvia, then Semigallians are the landlocked guys.
Right.
But yeah, Homo Novus. Homo Novus and The Fond of Criminal Excellency, something that I highly recommend. From this show, you'd probably get Homo Novus better because it's a shorter name. But Homo Novus is a really, really good movie. It's like a low-budget one because we can't afford all the Hollywood effects. It's a story about a guy who is an artist who arrives from the countryside to Riga, you know, to become a better artist because he's just finished his artistry school. And it's about the bohemian art lifestyle in Riga in the 20s and 30s. And it's amazing. It's one of the best movies I could recommend to you.
Yeah, that sounds super interesting. I will have to check that out. What else? What are your other like favorite Russian and like Soviet movies? I'm really curious.
From the Soviet era?
Yeah, I mean, or more modern as well, either, whichever.
There are three movies that I really, really enjoy. One of them is Brat.
Okay, of course, yeah, 90s movie, speaking of the 90s and organized crime and stuff.
I don't even know. I think you should learn Russian to watch that movie.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, that's certainly a movie that wouldn't have got made in the Soviet era until, like, maybe the, like, very late 80s.
It shows all the horrors of the Chechen War and everything. Then I love everything made by Gaidai.
Right.
Gaidar, everything is great. Operatsiya E, I love that one. And then I suppose I really like, but that's because I've seen it so many times. Like, it's just ingrained in my brain. The S Legким Паром.
Of course, yes. Yeah. Irony of fate. Yes.
Yeah,
of course, you might have seen, Andrei Mikhov, he died just the other day.
I'll raise a glass to my Zhigulovskiye piva to him.
And, excellent.
No, but like that movie is just incredible. And when they made a sequel, fuck the sequel. Like, seriously, that movie was just awesome. And like, in the Soviet era, and I'll tell you a nice little secret here, how they use the Soviet comedies to their own advantage. The fact is that they use stand-up comedians and these whole comedy things to distract people from their everyday, you know, everyday sorrow.
Right, right.
It was an intentional attempt to kind of make people forget. But at the same time, the very same Gaidar, his movies were just awesome. All the Shuriks, all the Vasily Ivanovich меняет профессию, or Vasily Ivanovich changes profession, right?
Oh yeah, that's definitely one of my favorites of like Soviet comedy.
It's like, and he made that, and the Soviet comedy parts were like, that's all made by one director.
Yeah.
Igor Gaidar.
Hello there. Thank you for tuning in into another episode of The Eastern Border. We are so happy to announce that this episode is brought to you by our friends at russansov.com. If you're looking to buy new art, don't forget to use the code EasternBorder for a discount on us. Remember, head over to russansov.com and happy shopping. If, however, you want to support our show directly, head over to patreon.com or our website, theeasternborder.lv, to find out how you can help out. For all things Eastern Border, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Discord. And as always, thank you so much for supporting us. We really appreciate each and every one of you. That's all from me now. See you online.
This podcast brought to you by RussianVoiceOvers.eu. Enjoy!
Igor Gaidar. Also, the Gentlemen of Fortune.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one yet. It's on the list, though.
All the Soviet comedies were so full with... I don't even know how they were allowed, because they not only made fun, they weren't comedies in the sense of, you know, if you watch the American comedies at the same time, you see the kind of the slapstick, and there's a lot of slapstick in them as well, but they also make fun of the fact that there's not enough produce, there's not enough stuff in the stores. There's, you know, there's self-deprecating comedies, right?
Oh yeah, and there's like a hard satirical edge. Like, speaking of that, like, one of my favorites would be Welcome or No Trespassing. So the director of that one, Ellen Klimov, is most famous, like, to Western viewers as the director of Come and See, which is obviously like an incredible but incredibly horrific war movie. But like right at the beginning of his career, he did this really light and fun comedy set in a kid's pioneer camp, except it has this really kind of like hard satirical edge, because the camp is essentially like a big metaphor for the Soviet Union, essentially. And the leader of the camp is... yeah.
The same for Mikhalkov. Like, Mikhalkov has an Oscar, but Mikhalkov also now thinks that all the COVID vaccines give you a Bill Gates-oriented microchip.
Oh, yeah. He's gone off the deep end, which is very sad, because he's obviously, he's a very talented actor and talented filmmaker, but yeah, he just does seem to have...
And the recent movie, Stalingrad, if you watch that one.
Yeah, is this the one, the Fyodor Bondarchuk one from... I guess it's about like 8 years ago. Yeah.
Mikhalkov had an input in that one. It was like just awful, man. And the same with Virginia Vierch about the basketball players.
Okay, yeah, no, that one is completely pass me by.
Yeah, I was like, he's done a bunch of movies lately where, you know, they just got the governmental money because it just touches the subjects that the government deems important.
Right.
Same about the Crimea movie. Like, you know, they have a movie about Crimea joining Russia where one of the major plot points is a guy from Crimea who knows English who wants to move to the United States, and he knows English, and his whole plot point is to getting a tourist from the United States who also knows English to marry him so that he can move to the States. They've gone down to that level.
Gotcha. And then on the other hand, you've got like art house directors like Andrei Zvyagintsev, who's making films like Leviathan and Loveless that make Russia look really, really, really terrible.
I fucking hated Leviathan.
Oh, okay. Okay, no, tell me about it.
I'm sorry, but like, that movie had no story direction. It had nothing. And I couldn't feel for the main character at all.
Oh, I mean, he's a bit of a jerk, but
he's not just a bit of a jerk. He's just an asshole who doesn't do anything to improve his own position. I watched the movie, I watched the reviews, I've watched kind of critical analysis of the movie. It's a sad, depressive movie about a man who gets too drunk, his best friend cheats on his wife, and also kind of wants to get him out of his trouble with the local authorities, and in the end, an Orthodox church gets built upon his property. It's a long story, but...
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's a movie about a sad man, a sad, miserable human being who really doesn't do anything to improve his own condition.
Yeah, I get that. But on the other hand, it's one of these odd ones where you kind of, it's kind of surprising that it got made, but almost, and the fact that it got like some state funding, but it's almost like a, from the authorities' point of view, it's kind of like a, see, we do have freedom of speech here. Look, you can make a movie that makes the country look really terrible, but I can't imagine that it got particularly wide distribution actually in Russia. I could be wrong about that, but...
It didn't really.
No, I didn't think so.
They forbade death of Stalin, which was like...
Oh, I know.
Eh?
Funny thing about that, one of the...
It's not a good movie. As far as I know... Anything about movies? Death of Stalin is mediocre at best. The same as Matilda?
I must admit, I enjoyed it a lot, but yeah, probably from like a...
I agree that it is a funny comedy movie, okay? But as a historian, from the historian perspective, maybe it just didn't click with me because they overdid a lot of things and they skipped out a lot of things. And
right.
They did get the Stellan's death scene right about the fact that they were just too afraid to get into the pool of piss, but that was true. But it was like, you know, we're going to be this edgy movie. We're going to go through all these borders. And then they just cut it exactly at the moment where they could have gone over and made it art. You know, I didn't really like it. It was like not a 6 out of 10 for me. It was okay, but nothing much.
Okay, no, fair enough, fair enough. But yes, I can kind of see why they weren't, like, the authorities weren't too fond of that.
Oh, Matilda. Matilda, man.
Yes. Yeah, that didn't go down too well, did it? I haven't seen it yet.
Don't. It's shite.
Okay.
It's a boring movie. I mean, it really just depicts Nicholas II, or how I call it in my show, Nicky II, is a human being. And that's it. He has a love affair with a ballerina.
Which he did. That's a thing that happened. But you're not allowed to say that because, you know, he...
That's literally the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, watch The Expanse instead. Because of this movie, like, literally, a person drove into a cinema full with gas tanks. And I don't mean gasoline. I mean, really, gas. Exploded himself full with gas just to kill everyone who would come to see this movie because it dishonors the memory of Nicholas II.
Yikes.
I mean...
this was supposed to be a fun episode, Christophs.
This still is a fun episode.
Yeah, it's all relative, right? It's all relative.
Mean, so far we've only into 50 deaths or so.
Right. Yeah, it's a matter of proportion, isn't it? Or a sliding scale. Oh, man.
No, but like, just Russian movies today is like, I recommend everyone watching Bad Comedian. He does things in Russian, but he just analyzes all the Russian movies coming out today. And he's a fan of some of the Russian movies. And he's also a Russian kind of a nationalist, I would even say. He openly talks about, you know, need for the Russian Empire to be restored. At the same time, he kind of delves at very terrible Russian.
Okay. Yeah, sounds like an interesting guy. So I'm curious, why do you think that Russian movies that continue to be popular are the ones from the 60s and 70s?
Because they made great fucking movies, mate. Those movies are awesome. I mean, the Soviet comedies and everything, they truly were amazing. And they want to bring it out in the open, I think. They want to make sure more people see them.
Mm.
Because the Soviet Union is usually associated with all this kind of negative things, but and it had a lot of them. And my show opens up like a bunch of torture and everything bad, right? But at the same time, I've had Mir episodes, and I've had episodes about the greatest achievements the Soviet Union ever had. And in the movie making perspective, really had some great achievements. I mean, they really did advance the whole thing because they didn't want to step back from the Americans, right? They wanted to be in front of everyone. They wanted to bring forth the best the mankind could do. And now and then they actually did. And that's great.
Yeah. And it's, I think one of the reasons as I've gone along with the show that I wanted to like highlight is that at least in Britain and, you know, I don't know the States that well, although my wife's from there, like our stereotype of Russians is pretty much like Ivan Drago. It's like this kind of very serious, unsmiling, that is not funny, like just this very kind of robotic type of person, like, yeah, more of like a cyborg than a human. And that's, I mean, it's just nonsense, because like anyone, they, you know, they have a sense of humor, and especially when life can be extremely tough, humor is a coping mechanism. So, you know, it's not surprising.
Yeah, it was a coping mechanism. Not much else that we could do, you know? We could either sit at our homes and be miserable, or we could laugh at something. And there's a little nice little quote from Mikhail Bulgakov, which states, "На кого смеяетесь? На себя смеяетесь."
Right, so who should you laugh at? Laugh at yourself.
Yep. And that's kind of it, because what else can you do? This is why people sometimes misunderstand my slogan, happiness is mandatory. It's both the fact that happiness is mandatory from the outside, but on the other hand, if you want to survive in the Soviet environment, you have to stay happy somehow from the inside. And if you remember that, you know, all those people who made all those movies have to go through all this kind of censorship boards and everything.
Right.
To even get the movie made, right? What they put through this, what they got through past the radar, what they kind of made you feel, that was awesome. Because the movies were extremely cheap during Soviet era. Like 5 kopecks for a kind of a screening in the cinema in the 60s or 70s.
Yeah, and I want to say, like, at least in the 60s and 70s, a TV set was like comparatively expensive, so not everyone had them in their homes.
Yeah, it was extremely expensive. You had to wait in line for like 3 to 5 years to get one.
Right. Whereas in the States, like the 50s is kind of like the era in which TV really, really takes off, like to the point that Hollywood is kind of like, oh man, we're really struggling to compete because people would rather just like stay at home and watch the box in the corner. So that's why you get like, you know, widescreen and like the and 3D and stuff that they're trying there, just to of kind of like, well, your TV can't do this. And yeah, in the Soviet Union, they didn't really have that to the same extent. Like, that's one thing that might surprise folks who haven't seen many Soviet movies before, is that most of them are in, I don't know if it's exactly Academy ratio, but it's basically like the ratio is like 3-4, more that square rather than widescreen. I mean, there are exceptions, but mostly it's kind of boxy, which if you're used to seeing widescreen movies, which we mostly are at this point in the West, that's a little bit of a thing to get used to, but, you know, it still works. That said, how do you feel, Kristaps, about the like epic 7+ hour War and Peace from the 60s. Is that one you've seen?
Death!
In a good way? or did you not like this one either?
Fuck it, I've read the book, you know. Enough of this
Right.
One of the favorite movies is like, however, what they did was like Master and Margarita.
Oh, okay.
Those TV series. Now, those are great. The War and Peace. F bleep War and Peace. Master and Margarita is where it's at. Bulgakov is the shit, man.
Oh, yeah. Bulgakov is very, very interesting. And then, of course, you know, he had his run-ins with Stalin as well. Like, you know, that's definitely someone you don't want on the other end of the phone in the middle of the night. But, you know, you're a big theatre director in the late 30s, then that's, you know, very much a possibility.
Well, Uncle Joe did like his westerns, really.
Right.
He liked all that stuff. And I still consider Master and Margarita one of the greatest examples of Russian literature and movie making ever made. One thing that I like from modern Russian movies is V.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen those yet.
That's from Gogol.
Of course, yeah.
And that's one of the very few Russian horror movies, because I'm a huge horror movie fan, that actually I enjoyed that one. It was based on the legend. It had a nice setup, I'll say that much, without spoiling anything. It had a really, really awesome setup, and the payoff was really good, too. The sequel to V, however, is a pile of crap you shouldn't watch, but original was great. The same with the Night Watch movies. The original Night Watch, read the books, watched the movie, awesome. Their sequels and the fact that they try to make something else is basically Russian version of Divergent, and it is awful.
Yeah, I've watched both of them, but it's such a long time ago. I mean, I do intend to get to Night Watch at some point on the show, but I'm not sure quite when that will be, to be honest.
Well, we kind of have to wrap this up because it's...
Of course. Yeah, yeah.
It's hit 45-minute mark, and we've been blathering about Russian movies at all times. But thanks to have you on the show. Also, I will mail about you to rusensov.com, our sponsors of the show, who gallantly provide us with their sponsor link. If you go to rusensov.com and purchase any Russian or Soviet merchandise there and enter Eastern Border at the checkout, you get a 10% discount. And I'm pretty sure that if you... We'll go there as well and just, you know, make your own thing. You can get the same deal from them as well. I highly recommend you do, because Rusensov looks like they need some, you know, podcasting guys. And I have a nice poster which says more steel war weapons on my wall.
Nice.
So I highly recommend you do it as well.
Oh, yes, yeah, I've got my Battleship Potemkin t-shirt. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, man, nice to talk to you, and please advertise your podcast, comrade. You have 4 minutes to do so.
Oh, okay, so, yeah, 4 minutes. I probably shouldn't need quite that much. So it's just Russophiles Unite Movie Podcast, and you should be able to find me on all your usual platforms. We normally release an episode a month, so not quite as prolific as Chris Stapps here, but, you know, we try. So, yeah, check it out if you're interested in hearing me chat with a guest. Different guest each time, but we've got repeat guests about Russian movies. So, yeah, cheers. And thanks, Chris Stapps, very much for having me on.
Can I be a guest at some point, too, please?
Of course, yes. We'll have to pick out a movie.
I'll give you one.
Okay.
A Gift to a Lonely Woman.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, please do that. Because I'll be glad to have you.
Awesome.
And to everyone else, до свидания, товарищ.
Thank you for listening to The Eastern Border. If you have any comments or specific details you'd like to know, you're welcome to leave it in the comment section on our site, theeasternborder.lv, and we'll rummage even to the western border to find you an answer. Like this podcast? Subscribe to us on iTunes, Stitcher, or on our RSS feed. Happiness is mandatory. Good reviews and donations feed the farmers of our kolkhozes in the great motherland. The Eastern Border salutes you.
This podcast is part of the Dark Myths Collective. Visit darkmyths.org for more shows like this one. The Dark Myths Void.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Mark Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Mark.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.